couple of weeks back, I was on the phone trying to explain to someone how to get here for a memorial service. You know, this is a tough place to find. Have you ever tried to explain to someone how to get here by taking the Mercer Street exit? Taking the Mercer Street exit was nearly impossible. Now it is impossible. I've adopted Seattle Pacific University's way of trying to tell people to get to the top of Queen Anne. What they actually tell people is to go all the way to 50th Street and then backtrack across the Fremont Bridge. Jesus takes a wrong exit in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus finds himself out in the very rural areas of Galilee. He has been a huge success. Huge crowds have been attracted to him. Many have stayed with him and followed him. He has been able to work wonders and miracles, except when he's in his own hometown. There, the evangelist Mark says, he wasn't able to do any great work because they didn't believe in him. In today's gospel, though, he's out of bounds. Or at least he has stretched the envelope of geography, because we find him among foreigners, Gentiles, people who are, religiously speaking, unclean, people to be avoided. And that is surely what Jesus intends to do when he gets there. The evangelist Mark tells us he immediately went into a house and kept a low profile. He didn't want anybody to know he was there. Mark makes it obvious that Jesus is simply passing through. Simply passing through until he is hailed by this mother of a little girl. We are told that the little girl possesses an unclean spirit. We have no idea what that means. It could have been a rash. It could have been a fever. It could have been convulsions. It could have been her political votes. But we sympathize with her mother. What parent wouldn't do whatever was necessary to see that his or her child was well? She's heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, this mother, this foreigner, this Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile. She approaches Jesus. She bows down at his feet. She begs him to heal her daughter. This seems like a no-brainer. After all, is this not the Jesus who said, "Suffer the little children to come to me"? But we are shocked. We are shocked by Jesus' rude answer to this mother. It's not simply rude, it's crude. He says, "Woman, let the children of Israel be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Just let that sink in. But this out of bounds woman, this Gentile, this foreigner, this woman, well, she is as sharp as she is persistent. For her response is one of faith. She has not lost her trust in Jesus. And she speaks a word of grace to Mr. Graceful himself. Listen to what she says. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the scraps that fall from the children's plates." We had a dog growing up. My sisters and I, whenever there was something on our plate that we didn't want, we would try to sneak it off the plate to the dog. But if you got caught doing that, it just wasn't a good thing. For you are the dog. You know, the dog then got sent out. So What happened was, you know, there was an odd movement with a knife or a fork, and suddenly there were peas on the floor. Nobody knows how they got there. That's grace. That's grace. All she asks for are the scraps that fall from the table. A word of grace. And hearing that, somehow, Jesus clicks back in. Yeah. Yes. Grace. Mercy. Go. Your daughter has been healed. The evangelist St. Mark uses geography to do theology. Jesus is detoured by this Syrophoenician woman, this Gentile, this out-of-bounds person. His mission is to the children, the Israelites, the children of God, which is to say what homilist Thomas Long, who is a professor of preaching, said in a sermon that he wrote back in the Christian century a couple years ago. He said, Jesus does not serve the vague God of everybody. He serves the scandalously particular God of Israel. This is the God of Abraham and Sarah. This is the God of Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Rachel. Jesus knows for whom he came. He knows his purpose and his mission, and he is not about to be detoured. And yet, this Syrophoenician woman, this Gentile, this out-of-bounds woman, she puts up a huge detour. And she reminds Jesus about grace and mercy. Grace over law, mercy over righteousness. And Jesus suddenly finds himself pushing the boundaries of ethnicity and geography, getting further stretched as Mark continues on to describe where Jesus goes. And it's an amazing description. It's as if Mark has no idea of the geography of Palestine. Mark, it would be the equivalent of going to Portland from Seattle, from Queen Anne, via Mercer Island. Mark knows where Tyre and Sidon are. He knows where this is, but he wants to teach us something. And in so doing, he teaches us about grace and mercy, grace over law and mercy over righteousness. Jesus allows himself to be detoured. In other words, the road of faith is not the shortest distance between two points, but rather it is a road that is often full of twists and turns, and inevitably, every day we come to a crossroads where we have to make a decision, this way or another's way. And if that were not confusing enough, the road of faith is always under construction. Jesus led his disciples out of Galilee into a Gentile territory. He led them out into an area where things were all mixed up, where people got mixed up. No one stayed put, orderly or fixed. Out there is the healing of both the Syrophoenician woman's daughter and the man who could neither speak nor hear. Jesus showed that his message and compassion would be pushed to their geographic and ethnic limits. And through this topsy-turvy geography, Mark says, when you follow Jesus, you better be ready for surprises, unexpected circumstances, for people you didn't expect to meet and for circumstances you didn't expect to experience and for questions you thought were already settled. I tend to believe that Mark was making a theology lesson out of a geography lesson. He knew where Tyre and Sidon was, and he knew where Jesus was. And Jesus was creating a whole new worldview, one that could be characterized by these two words, the very two words that he spoke to the man who could neither speak nor hear: be opened. If ever If ever there were two words that would describe those who would follow Jesus, it would be those two words, would it not? Be open. Be open to new people and new circumstances and new understandings of old teachings. You cannot follow Jesus by sticking to a map. How did you get here this morning? Which exit did you take? I know how you got here this morning. I know how you got here this morning. You got here this morning because you started in the waters of holy baptism. You didn't come to God, but God came to you in the waters of holy baptism and made you God's child. Like the Syrophoenician woman, you were an outsider, one who was estranged from God. And God came to you and in the waters of baptism made you whole. And God said, follow me. The shortest distance between two points may be a straight line, but following Jesus is anything but following a straight line. To follow Jesus is to be ready to take some detours, to expect some delays in your faith journey, and to know that the road is full of construction. For our faith is always being formed, molded, repaired, renewed, refreshed. If faith was only a matter of simply memorizing a creed, a prayer, or a set of Bible verses, and declaring, that's all I need by which to live. But it is not. And that is so obvious in today's gospel. We must be opened. We must be opened to the unexpected on this road. We must be open to new challenges to our faith. And whatever or even whoever challenges our faith, we know that along the road of faith, there will be plenty of nourishment and encouragement. We will be fed. We will come to this table and we will be fed the very bread of life. We will sip from the cup of salvation. And more than that, we will have one another. Odd people that we are in strange circumstances from which we come, we gather here together at this table. In about a month, in our fellowship hall and on our basement floors, we will house mothers and children from Mary's Place. Odd people, strange circumstances. People will sign up to serve them dinners, greet them at the door when they come at night, sleep on cots, so that they're okay if something happens during the night. But you and I both know it's not that simple. Because once you enter into the lives of others, they detour you like the Syrophoenician woman detoured Jesus. That's why we need each other. Brothers and sisters in the faith, not only do we have the bread of life and the cup of salvation and God's promise, the word, we have the church, the body of Christ. We have one another for support, and from time to time we will lean upon each other for support. But don't be surprised if that brother or sister you find yourself leaning on is different from you. For in God's topsy-turvy geographical scheme of things, following Jesus always takes the long way around just to make sure everyone gets this invitation. Come, follow him. And what else is faith but to simply trust that when you follow him, he will bring order from disorder. Isn't that what we call Holy Communion? Odd people and strange circumstances coming together to this table to be fed, to be nourished. And when we get there, we call this group of odd people with odd circumstances the church, the body of Christ in the world, for the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.